The reading is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
My name is Andrew, and I'm one of the occasional preachers at St Matthew's Church. I've been a member of St Matthew's since 1992, and I work as a GP. Recently, my family has been ill with what we presume was COVID-19. We seem to have recovered, as have tens of thousands of other people around the country, but we're all aware of many others who've suffered more severe illness. We're looking at 1 Peter 1, verses 21 to 25 today, so please keep that open in front of you. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you that we can celebrate Easter today. We thank you for the resurrection from death to life of Jesus and the hope and certainty that that brings. Amen. Perhaps this feels like an unusual Easter day. We expect Easter to be joyful, to join together as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his gift of eternal life for us. But this year, the news is full of deaths and disruption due to COVID-19. And as if that was not enough, many people are suffering all sorts of other trials and difficulties. Difficulties that can occur any year, like accidents and other kinds of illness. And these can be especially hard to bear because they're hidden by the overriding concern about this pandemic virus. All of this suffering does put things into perspective. Firstly, it puts some of our worrying into perspective. Perhaps you have a natural tendency to worry about the effect of share prices on your pension, or the ever so British concern to make sure there's a good supply of loo rolls. Now, quite rightly, these concerns appear less important next to questions of life and death. Secondly, the reality of people dying is sobering. And it reminds us to value time with those whom we love in a more urgent way. I want to suggest to you that this is actually the most normal Easter day that many of us have experienced. Because Easter follows the Passover, the day when the angel of death passed over God's people who prepared themselves for a journey into the promised land. And truly death seems to be all around us. But as God's people, we remember every year the Passover lamb slain in our place, the substitute for our sins, Jesus, the true Passover lamb, who has died once and for all, but is risen once for all. Resurrection comes out of death. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. In this passage, Peter reminds us that because of Jesus, who is raised and glorified, we can and do trust God, our rescuer. Because of Jesus who purified us, we truly love one another deeply and truly. Because of Jesus, God's living word, we know for sure that we've been born again. And because of Jesus, God's enduring word, we have good news for everyone of hope beyond death. Our passage begins in verse 21 by saying, through him you believe in God, referring to Jesus as he is described in verses 17 to 19. The Christ, by whose precious blood you were redeemed. In other words, because of Jesus who is raised and glorified, we trust God, our rescuer. God has rescued us all from an empty way of life and proved it when he raised Jesus from the dead and glorified him. God raised Jesus to life, again from the dead, and gave Jesus glory because he is worthy as the Son of God. We know the great value God ascribes to our deliverance from verses 18 to 20. He always planned to redeem us by the precious blood of his unblemished, perfect Lamb. But at the resurrection, our redemption was guaranteed. Peter explains further what he means by saying, we believe in God. He's not just saying, we believe he exists. He means that because of the resurrection, we put our faith and our hope in God. We can look back at what God has done for us, fulfilled in Jesus' resurrection, and trust him for all his promises, because he is faithful. And we look forward with hope and expectation for the future, secure in his hands for eternity, because he does not change his mind, and he is merciful. Are you struggling in faith right now? Ask yourself, where are you placing your security? In your dwindling investments, in your skills or strength or connections? These perishable things cannot compare to God, who loves you and who holds the future. Believe in him. Trust him to be faithful. Look to him for your future with hope. Are you confident in faith right now? Good. But let's remember that our faithfulness is a sign not of our own ability, but rather of God's mercy and grace. In verse 22, we see that our behaviour is changed as well as our attitude. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Because of Jesus who purified us, we truly love one another. Having first heard the truth, that is, the good news of Jesus, and obeyed that truth by believing in Jesus, we've been made pure by the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't always feel this, nor always show it. But because of God's perfect, unblemished Passover Lamb, who died in our place, Jesus, God considers us innocent, clean, and pure. You are not guilty anymore. You're not dirty anymore. You're innocent, clean, pure. And the only appropriate response is to obey Jesus, who is the truth, by loving one another. The Greek here means brotherly or sisterly affection. The love of a healthy family. Peter tells us three things about this love. It's a love born of obedience to the truth through the Spirit. In other words, it's not our natural ability to love, but love that comes from following Jesus and with the help and influence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's also a love that is unfeigned, it's not pretended. The Greek literally means without hypocrisy, because it comes from a clean heart, it is genuine. And it is a fervent, earnest, intense love. Again, the literal translation that I read says that you will love outstretchedly. It's an extravagant and ongoing, not a limited and half-hearted kind of love. Well, what does that love look like here at St. Matthew's? Well, we're seeing it. The way our small groups have been looking after one another has been beautiful. It's a love that goes beyond the minimum, shuns the limelight, costs effort, and is quite often unrecognised. In verses 23 to 25, Peter writes that believers have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Because of Jesus, God's living word, we know we have been born again. As human beings, we know that all of us born into this world are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Most of the time we might choose to forget that, but now the pandemic reminds us of our mortality. But as Christians, we have been born again. Yes, we are mortal, born as children of our ancestors, the seed that spoils, and we will die. And yet also we are born again, the children of God forever, seed that never spoils, never fades, never decays. The psalmist understood this contrast. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In this passage from Peter that we've been reading, he quotes from Isaiah chapter 40. He quotes verses 6 to 8, which follow verses 1 to 5, describing the work of John the Baptist as he prepared the way for Jesus' ministry on earth. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So yes, we are destined to die and to face judgment. But be comforted, your sin has been paid for. You have been born again. At Easter, God proved to us that if we believe and trust in Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour, we are born again and will live forever. He's redeemed us through Jesus, the Word of God, who is alive and lives forever and ever. Not only is God a living God, but his Word is living. He endures, never changing. God is faithful. We can face death and we can face grief because we have an indestructible hope. The promise of eternal life in Jesus. Death remains a terrible enemy, but death is a defeated enemy. A new Easter hymn has these words. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong. Unto the grave, what shall we sing? Christ he lives, Christ he lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours for evermore. Peter's quote from Isaiah 40 is God's response to a question. It's God's instruction to proclaim his word. Isaiah 40 verse 6 begins with God speaking. A voice says, cry out. And Isaiah said, what shall I cry? And God's answer is, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And so Peter concludes in verse 25, and this is the word that was preached to you all. Because of Jesus, God's enduring word, we have good news for everyone. This pandemic makes it more obvious that the noblest, the grandest, the best of human effort, it all fades, fails, and falls. Peter described in verse 17 things like silver or gold as perishable. They cannot save us, even though they seem relatively solid. All human schemes of salvation, efforts to redeem the moral state of man, have come to nothing. But we know the risen Lamb, Christ crucified, alive forevermore. This is the message of good news that's been given to us. No wonder Isaiah continued in verse 9 of chapter 40, you who bring good news to Zion, go up on a mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Let's be ready to gently and respectfully give an answer to everyone who asks us, to give the reason for the hope that we have. For even though there is death and disruption all around us, as there was when Peter wrote his letter, we are reminded why we can celebrate Easter, even when the circumstances are terrible. Because of Jesus, who is raised and glorified, we can and do trust God, our rescuer. Because of Jesus, who purified us, we truly love one another deeply. Because of Jesus, God's living word, we know for sure that we have been born again. And because of Jesus, God's enduring word, we have good news for everyone of hope beyond death. Happy Easter.